Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everywhere. It's Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Today, we're so blessed that you're joining us for part three of our exclusive three-part interview with our good friend Tom Donnan. Now, if you missed any of the prior two episodes, you need to go back and catch up because he just laid it out there. It was just so awesome. I can't even describe some of the topics that we covered because we covered a lot and fairly quickly. You need to go back and catch up because we don't have time to replay any of it today. We're diving right in now into signs in the heavens, things that are happening and are about to happen, including a possible asteroid impact that you'll want to hear about. So let's jump back into this interview now with Tom Donnan. We're not through with our discussion of the signs of heaven. One of NASA's main jobs, I guess you want to say, is to try and keep track of, you know, satellites and debris and asteroids and all that. And we've just discussed before about their ability to track all these asteroids and comets, and then how shocked everyone is when we're told after the fact, oh, this one got a little closer between us and the moon than we thought, you know, and we missed it. We didn't see it until it was past us.
Right? Yeah.
But yet they can track a hammer floating out there in space.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Did you see that one of the main radio telescopes that assists in tracking asteroids just collapsed in Puerto Rico?
I was shocked when I saw that. I can't believe that drone that they were using for observation happened to be there at the right time, in the right instance. Because I'll tell you what, being an elevator guy, I am very familiar with cables, right? And so to see this thing, when you start to see one strand in a cable, one strand in a lay that has multiple lays in the cable, and you see one pop, this is serious. And then it was over. It was over, and it was a catastrophe.
Yep. Amen. Yeah, it happened so fast. I mean, that one, boop, the next thing, you know, like two, 3 seconds later, the next one, boop, two, three seconds later, the next one, boop, and the whole thing says, to heck with it.
Yeah. Yes. Amen. Yeah, that was terrible because that has ramifications. On their ability to now observe space. Yep. You know, and so that's a sad thing because now what are they going to do to fill the gap, right?
Yep, exactly. And, you know, not just to help track, you know, the satellite debris and all that, but the asteroids. And now, you know, something that I found really interesting is there's been a huge asteroid that's been headed towards Earth. They first discovered it back in 2004, and they kept revising their estimates on how close it's actually going to get. But this asteroid is named Apophis. Now, they named it that back in 2004. I don't know how they picked the name, but, you know, we'll get into that in a little bit. But now they say it's set to fly by the Earth. They say it's passing by on Friday the 13th in the year 2029.
Yeah.
Which just happens to the day, if you count that. And I can't remember the exact Jewish holiday. I should have wrote it down. I forgot. There's a Jewish holiday that occurs right at mid-trib, right?
No way.
And the end of tribulation, which is, what, the Feast of, is it Tabernacles? I think it's Tabernacles. 3.5 years prior to that, to the day, would be the Jubilee, the Feast of Tabernacles, all that stuff happening at the same time, right?
Oh, no.
And Tom Horn, who both you and I follow, has estimated that if that's the case, then that thing may not pass by.
You know?
Yeah. And, you know, because they keep revising their estimates. But they right now they're saying it's going to come so close to the Earth, it's going to take out some of the satellites that are in these geosynchronous orbits around the Earth. They're going to take some of them out. And this thing is huge. It's like bigger than the Eiffel Tower. You know, at first they didn't think it was going to be that close, but every time they go and revise their estimates, it gets closer and closer. And now, at the same time that people are starting to take this serious, suddenly we lose one of the ability, you know, our ability to track this thing as close as what they might want to. You know, like I said, Tom Horn speaks about Apophis on the 700 Club, and you know, it's, he believes the asteroid is going to impact the Earth, but they're just keeping it quiet because he says it's an extinction level event. Have you seen that?
Yes, that is pretty scary, first of all, you know, and the thing about coming so close to the Earth, that there's a keyhole event, you know. The last time that it passed by, did it be what? To explain the keyhole is that it's a gravitational tug, mm-hmm. or it changes the trajectory. Mm-hmm. So if it goes through this specific keyhole event outside the Earth, it will change the asteroid's trajectory, which makes it a little bit harder to determine where it's going to come through. Now, Tom Horn, on the other hand, believes that it is going to be an extinction-level event, that it is going to hit the Earth, and that's where he wrote his book and confirms this. He says that he has quite a few high-level people that have contributed to the information for him to believe that this is going to impact. And so that's his point of view, especially brought out in his book. So that is a scary thing. But then think about the ramifications. Is this showing us a timeline of potentially for the end events to take place?
Yeah.
No. Right. And how close it could possibly be. We keep on refining this, right? Mm-hmm. Does this continue to show us that the end is this close?
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. the revelation is this close.
Yep. Amen. And like I said, if that's the mid-trib point when that happens, because, you know, the Bible talking about a mountain falling into the sea and all that, and the, you know, the heavens are dark and, you know, the sun doesn't give us light, which would be a result of all that. But if that's the midpoint, if you back up another 3.5 years, that takes you to 2025, when, according to the pre-trib believers, Jesus is going to catch the church away.
Whoa.
I mean, you know, you're only talking, you know, I mean, we could be off in our calculations, okay? And
yeah.
It could happen before the end of this broadcast, okay? That's how close we are, you know? But, you know, it's just amazing when you put these things into an actual scenario, wow, that makes a lot of sense, you know?
Okay.
And I'm not setting dates. I'm not doing, you know,
don't
write me emails saying that, you know, oh, you're a date setter and all that. No, I'm just relaying what other people have scientifically calculated that could be, as they said, an extinction level event. And they've already said, scientists have already said, that it's going to impact the Earth for sure in 2069. Now, that's only 40 years after 2029, now, one mm-hmm. generation.
It's a pretty scary dynamic. But when you start to look at that young evangelist that I was just referencing, mm-hmm. you know, and he's talking about having God quicken him to 1 million and then 1 billion, you know, well, those are all indicators that we're moving towards the end of the age. And then you see all these scenarios that we're talking about that are precursors to the end of the age. Mm-hmm. And the technology, like in Daniel, says knowledge will increase.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Just the top of my head blows off. When I think about the ability for the knowledge to increase and what has been happening.
Yep.
No, and these are all precursors. So it gets back to this thing. All right, so what would be somebody want to be saved, right? Is somebody thinking, oh, I need to be saved? And then they say, well, what happens if it passes by? Salvation is a wonderful thing.
Amen.
No,
yeah.
So
Amen.
The sooner the better. No,
and if it does pass by in 2029, then the next thing is, well, we know what's happening in 2069.
Yeah.
You know, they've already said that's what's going to happen, you know. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, and just you're not saved now, and this scares you enough that you want to get born again, and then, you know, it passes by. Although everything on the earth is going to continue to spiral out of control, now you have the opportunity to share that gift of salvation with somebody else.
Yeah,
and it just continues to snowball.
One of the things that I will tell people when I'm speaking is that. Okay, if I live a very long life, I'm only going to scratch the surface of getting to know God.
Yeah.
So it comes back to the thing, the sooner the better. So, but all these signs that are going on indicating, I was fascinated by Tom Horn's book. Although it's been out for a while and this YouTube was not current, I was glad that I came across it to be able to use it as a reference because it's a good one.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. I've been following Tom Horn. I want to say 2012, I got his book about the last pope, and that's what really started me looking at the timelines of all this stuff. And I mean, he nailed it. And he even said when the pope prior to this one, I can't remember, was it Francis? I can't remember. But he nailed it. He said in April, I think it was April of 2012, this Pope's going to resign or die.
Ooh.
It was like 8 months later, they said that he was resigned. They said, oh, you missed it. But then it came out, no, he had actually made the decision and was talking with his people about he's going to resign. And they talked him into staying for a few more months.
Oh.
But he nailed it. I mean, you know, and that's really got me looking at all of this stuff with Tom and start following him. But you know, some people will say, well, you know, what's the government going to do about all this? Well, what can the government do about it?
Oh, yeah.
You know, what are they, if they tell people the end of the world is coming on April 13th, 2029, what are they going to do? I mean, you know, people will go into a panic, you know, mass panic's going to ensue. They're going to demand the government do something, you know. But, you know, there's nothing they can do. You know, I mean, Russia has a plan to, you know, launch an ICBM towards it. And I'm sure the United States will probably join in that. But they say one of the drawbacks on that is they don't know what will happen when the explosion takes place. Will it just vaporize the entire mountain? The rock, or is it going to break it into, you know, 10,000 little pieces? But when we say little people, oh, that'd be better because it'll burn up in the atmosphere. Yeah, some of these things are going to be the size of football fields. You know, this is going to be, you know, the size of buses coming down. You know, and you know, you're going to have your gravel size. Sure, they'll burn up, but the major chunks, you don't know what's going to happen.
Don't know.
And now, instead of having it come down one impact, it's going to be thousands of impacts all around the earth, you know, like little nuclear bombs going off all over the place, you know. So, I mean, you know, what can the government do, you know?
Well, okay, so the curiousness of it, right? So you got Russia that is doing this, and they want to do a test. I don't know if they're going to be able to complete it or not, you know, but their plans are they wanted to actually locate an asteroid to blow up and see what the effects will be, right? So then at the same time, we have this new Space Force, right? You know, okay, so the Space Force, why is they getting into this this area, which is a natural progression, I think, is to be able to have that kind of influence into the atmosphere by having a Space Force. But there could also be that reason, you know, to be able to say, okay, we need to do something. And now looking, they're putting these satellites onto asteroids. We talked about that the last time. You know, so this can't all be by coincidence. Why would they be spending all this money to be able to do this type of thing if there wasn't the concern that they might need to actually be ready to utilize these technologies for the purpose of trying to save the world from an extinction event?
Yeah, that's right. And you know, I mean, we could talk about this forever, but I mean, I find it interesting that at the same time, we need to know as much intelligence about these asteroids as we can. That, you know, one, like I said, one of the major radio telescopes just collapses. Was that coincidence or was that God? You know, and the name that was given to the asteroid, again, we talked about it before, you know, as soon as it was discovered, they call it Apophis, which means the great serpent, right?
Ooh.
And then come to find out all this thing is going to take place, and it's associated with the great serpent, and, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, in Revelation 8:8, a great burning mountain fall with fire is cast into the sea. And the word mountain, I think it's in Greek. It could be Greek or it could be Hebrew, one of the two, is actually astero, where we get the root word for asteroid.
Okay.
I mean, how plain does God got to make this stuff before people start paying attention, you know?
Yeah, really?
I mean, you have earthquakes. You have floods. You have locust plagues, wars, the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. We've been there 20 years now. You know, pestilences with all this COVID stuff. The economy's devastated. People dying. Now an asteroid bigger than the Eiffel Tower is on target to come so close to Earth. It's going to take out some of the satellites we rely on for communication and weather, not to mention national defense.
Yes.
I mean, exactly. As our new so-called president-elect is famous for saying, come on, man!
Okay. Yeah, that was a pretty good rendition.
Well, you know, to me, well, let's put it like this. There's another confirmation that I've seen of all these things getting ready to happen, and it was given by Perry Stone. I follow him, who gave a prophetic warning for America, or warning to America, just a few weeks ago. Did you see that video?
Oh, gee, yeah. And so that is moving into another area of these warning signs. Yep. And it's something that becomes everyday life, doesn't it? And so the thing is that we start to accept it because it's been going on for so long and it's perpetuated it and it is allowed to take place. And you scratch your head and you can't believe that something needs to happen and then nothing happens. Mm-hmm. And then you think, oh, gee, this is the way that it is. Of course, I live in Illinois and, you know, the machine works in that area where stuff happens. And then, of course, we have had a couple of governors going to jail. All right. So to kind of prove the point. But the thing is that right now things are happening and there is no justice. And so then pops up this thing that brings it from, how would you say it, diffusion into clarity.
Yeah.
That's what I liked about his YouTube. Now, he has been doing a technology. He had a very serious warning sign himself where he was about either he had a heart attack or was about to have a heart attack. And they said, listen, you need to scale back your activities. And so he wound up doing these YouTubes as a way to be able to keep his finger in the ministry, but not doing the big ministries. And of course, COVID canceled a lot of his speaking engagements, right? But it made an avenue by which God has been really revealing things to him. And so this is where these little YouTubes come out. Usually they're not more than 15 minutes about that. And then he brings this nugget, you know, and this nugget talking about the deceptions, about how the judges are unjust.
Yep.
You know, oh, you can see it happening when you look at it. Yes, it's happening all over the place.
That's right. Amen. And California, you know, new laws and COVID pressures, you know, created a state where more people and companies are leaving than coming in, you know, and I think it's happening in New York and New Jersey as well, I heard, you know, what's the recent one? What's his name? Elon Musk, leaving California for Texas. You know, I had to second that. I wish I could leave Maryland for Texas, but, you know, another story for another day. But, you know, he's like, you know, hey, I'm out of here, you know.
And that's not cheap.
Yeah.
That is not cheap for him to move his enterprise and these other big industries that are doing the same thing. No, and I really listened to the YouTube by Ben Shapiro probably about a month ago, and he was detailing why they are moving to Tennessee. And he says that I've lived here all my life. I believe he said that. I lived there all my life. And he says it's just not safe anymore. I live in a good community, but the homeless are there. The needles are right outside on the sidewalk. You know, the people are defecating in different areas that you have to step around. And the crime has increased, and then the taxes are out of sight.
Yeah.
And he said it just doesn't make sense. And so this is where you got people who are like, what is that? I like to reference all the time the last verse in Numbers, you know, in the book of Numbers, where it said that they did whatever was right in their own eyes.
Yep.
And this is where in California, they're thinking to themselves that they're doing these elitist things for the good of the community or the good of the state. And it's really having deep adverse effects to where it's now a negative. Living in California is becoming quickly a negative to where other people are leaving. And then you have booms. One of the booms is that in Nevada. Okay, so you have housing that is exploding in Nevada because people are moving there. And I was just talking to somebody the other day, and I can't remember which state it was in, and they were talking about how housing has become more expensive because the people who are leaving those bad states are coming to their state, and so now the real estate market is going exploding.
Yep.
And then you have this YouTube there from Seattle. I like watching this real estate agent, and I can't remember his name right now. But he goes into detail about the different things that are going on. And so, okay, so they had all the riots in Portland and in Seattle, all right? And they're allowing that to take place, and there's a lot of devastation. And I don't know why they are allowing the chaos to continue.
Yeah.
But what is the ramifications? One of the unseen ramifications that is now happening is that insurance companies will no longer insure the businesses in the area of where the riots took place. And if they do get insurance, it is like liability only, and it's four times as expensive as the whole policy before. And so therefore, businesses don't have the prosperity to be able to do it. So they are leaving.
Yep. Amen.
It's a downward trend.
Yeah, I mean, you know, these states, they're trying to find ways to cut their budgets because everyone's leaving, which means they're not getting tax revenue from that. And when businesses leave, they're not getting taxes on the businesses. I think we talked about this on the last broadcast, where California has passed a law saying, if you make any money in California, you're going to owe us taxes for the next 10 years. We don't care where you move to. You know, I don't know if that's legal or not, but they're going to try it, you know, and say fight it in court.
Exit tax that they, I've heard it called that. Oh, yeah, that doesn't seem to be constitutional, does it?
But you know, neither does anything else the liberals are doing.
Okay, so here is the fascinating thing you're talking about this. You know, in 2010, I was down in Tyler, Texas. This is one of those rabbit trails that we're going to squeeze in here, you know, and down in Tyler, Texas. And when I was down there, I was going to be speaking in Pastor Jim's church. And he likes to get to know the person that is going to take in his pulpit, the night before. So we're in his office and we're talking. And at the 2-hour mark, we're swapping God story after God story, you know, like you were just doing with Pastor Phil and, you know, that kind of thing. And so at the 2-hour mark, this book comes flying off the shelf, the top shelf in his office, and it lands between our feet. Mm. And I looked at him and I said, you know, Jim, I said, if it was anybody else, they'd be running for the door. But we know that God does this kind of stuff because he's just given us a message.
Right.
So I leaned over and I picked it up. It was a book that was titled The Summary of the Constitution of the United States and the Declaration of the Independence. Mm. And it's by Dr. D. James Kennedy. So I made note of that. And then when I got home, God started to show me what was going to happen to America. And the first thing was that the Constitution fell, right? Yeah. It was on the top shelf, and it was catapulted off, and it fell to the floor. When the Constitution falls, the elitists take over, and then they enslave the population. Yep. How close are we to that now?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We're moving every day. It seems like we're moving closer and closer. Because, you know, because of COVID, these companies closed. Now, as we started the program out with, you know, they're passing these $1 trillion deals to keep everybody. All that's doing is making people more dependent on the government.
Yeah.
And then soon the government's like, tell you what, you know how they were pushing to federalize, you know, making all the respirators and everything had to be, we'll federalize the car companies and we'll federalize the, you know, all this stuff. So they make all this sanitizer and all this stuff. They're federalizing everything. And people say, let's do that. Yeah, let's do it. They're giving up all their rights. They're, you know, and it's just one step at a time towards what the Bible says is the end of days.
Yes.
Amen. And states are looking at cutting back. I mean, you know, what's happening with salaries and benefits, retirement benefits, health benefits. You know, naturally, they're higher for older workers. You know, you start off when you're 22, 23 years old, and you get the experience, move on to another job for more money and more responsibility. And now you're, you know, 50 years old, and you're a manager of a department making, you know, a couple hundred grand a year. And the companies are looking at ways they can save money. I tell you what, we'll let him go and hire 5 people cheaper than what we're paying him. And that's what they're looking at doing. They're looking at getting rid of their older workers, which means you lose your benefits, all that stuff, unless you save money along the way. And they're hiring the younger people for cheaper wages.
That was something that's too near and dear to me. Well, it wasn't dear. Believe me, it wasn't dear at all. I was, 60 years old, I think. I was 60 years old, and after 44 years of working with the same company, I was laid off.
Oh, wow.
Right? And now the terror hits me. Who in the world is going to hire a 60-year-old person?
Yeah.
All right. And so I had gone through that very, very scary event. And then what happened is that because I had a skill, a very unique skill, that I was still employable. Amen. Because people who were looking for that skill, I was gobbled up, so to speak. Mm. But I had a condition, and the condition was, please, can I start in a month? Right. And they said, no problem, because my sister was terminally ill. See how God aligns things.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Amen.
And I was there every day with my sister to be able to help her through her final days. Yeah. And so that is a godsend. And then I started working for this company downtown. And I always balked at working downtown Chicago because those buildings are high down there. You know, and I thought, oh, gee, I don't know that I want to be on a 110-story building on top of the elevator riding down and up and stuff, you know. And so but I worked out that wasn't a problem. And so it turned out to be a tremendous blessing. you know, I went from working in the south side of Chicago, where there were times I was scared for my life in the places where I was going and threatened on occasion. Now I'm working on a magnificent mile downtown. Amen. You know, yeah. So God took me from that one end to the other. But you have people who don't have employable skills after they're older, and it is hitting a lot of them. And this is terrible. Yeah. It's a terrible place to be. What do they do?
Yeah, exactly. And then when I got hurt and they're talking about my retirement, and I'm thinking, what am I going to do? You know, and that's why I was praying. And God, I say, orchestrated everything that did occur to put me where I am here today. And,
yeah.
You know, so, you know, he has a plan. Just
he has a plan.
Trust the plan.
Yeah.
Amen. Tom, we've gone way over time, even for us. Okay.
Oh, no.
Praise God. But I don't want to close on a downer. Yeah, I don't want to close on a downer, though. There's one scripture that comes to mind that is there to give us hope. But at the same time, it gives us a warning as well. And I think you know what scripture I'm talking about. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. This has all been a deep discussion. I've enjoyed it, and I hope our listeners are getting a lot out of this. But if someone wanted to get in touch with you, before we give that information, tell us about 2 Chronicles chapter 7.
Okay, so, you know, I use this as kind of like a life verse and also a ministry verse, is because the Lord had showed me that he wants to do a healing of the land, right? And so, but there's this verse that is kind of like contingent. It's kind of like a Revelation 20, no, excuse me, Revelation 3:20, where it goes, I stand at the door and knock, right? Well, nobody ever quotes verse 19, mm-hmm. you know, where he says that for the disobedient child, I will chastise them. Mm-hmm. And then he'll stand at the door and knock, mm-hmm. right?
Amen.
Well, he does the same thing in 2 Chronicles 7:13, where he says, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts, hello, you know, to devour the land and send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways or sin and repent, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Well, that verse 13, that is a timing issue because that's where we are today. We are seeing these things that are shaking us so that we will start to pray. And when we start to pray, God hears and then he releases provisions for this to take place.
Amen. Folks, man, I wish we could just keep going. Tom, if someone wanted to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
It would be my email, which is healingthenation1776@gmail.com. And I do have a Facebook page, which is called Healing the Nation Ministries.
Amen. Amen. Folks, what Tom and I have been talking about today is dealing with things that are happening right now. And yes, we discussed ancient things, but they were only there to give a perspective on what's happening right now, as well as what could be happening in the near future. Our point in this entire discussion is to show you that what the Bible says has happened, and more importantly, what will happen, is true. And our whole focus is on showing that Bible prophecy has been accurate in the past, therefore it will be accurate in the future. And as we've been discussing, the Bible is very specific in everything it says. So we can agree that what happened in the past, especially as it deals with the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, then we can believe that the end of the Bible will be true as well. And as we shared today, things happening right now in the news that you've been seeing have been prophesied for thousands of years. Nobody knew how any of these things would occur, but with the technology today, we just take it for granted and can actually see how these things are possible. Tom, we got about 30 seconds left. If all this has resonated with someone, would you lead them to the throne of grace with the salvation of Jesus?
What an honor. Thank you very much. Let's pray. Dear Father God, I ask for the listener that, Lord, that you would bring them into repentance. So please pray this prayer with me. Dear Father God, I thank you for your son Jesus and the work that he did for us on the cross by shedding his blood for our sins. I am sorry for my sins, Father, and the pain that it has caused you. Please forgive me. And I invite you, Jesus, to come into my heart and come into my life, and I want to live for you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Folks, if you prayed that prayer with Tom, email him. Go down below in the show links. Click the link. Get in touch with him. Email him. Let him know. Email me, brotherbob@ftfm.org. Let me know. Praise God. Tom, I appreciate you coming on the program and staying as long as you did today. What a way to start 2021. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, this is fun. We always have fun, don't we?
Amen. I wonder if this will be a sign of things to come this year every time we get together. I mean, another sign, praise God.
It's ever-changing, I'm telling you, and it's right out there to be able to grasp and say, uh-oh, take a look at this.
Yeah, amen, amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Tom, Don, and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do, and Happy New Year 2021.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.